1 Kings chapter 21. A reading from 1 Kings chapter 21, beginning with verse 1. Hear now these words. Later, the following events took place. Naboth the Jezreelite had a vineyard in Jezreel, beside the place of King Ahab of Samaria. And Ahab said to Naboth, "Give me your vineyard so I may have it for my vegetable garden, because near my house. I will give you a better vineyard for it, or if it seems good to you, I will give you its value in money." But Naboth said to Ahab, "The Lord forbid I should give you my ancestral inheritance." Ahab went home resentful and sullen because of what Naboth the Jezreelite had said to him. For he had said, "I will not give you my ancestral inheritance." He laid down his bed, turned away his face, and would not eat. His wife Jezebel came to him and said, "Why are you so depressed you will not eat?" Ahab said to her, "Because I spoke to Naboth the Jezreelite, and he said to him, 'Give me your vineyard for money, or else preferred I will give you another vineyard for it.' But he answered, 'I will not give you my vineyard.'" His wife Jezebel said to him, "Do you now govern Israel? Get up, eat some food, be cheerful. I will give you the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite." So she wrote letters in Ahab's name and sealed them with his seal. So he sent the letters to the elders and nobles who live with Naboth in his city. She wrote in the letters, "Proclaim a fast, and seat Naboth at the head of the assembly. Seat two scoundrels opposite him, and have them bring a charge against him, saying, 'You have cursed God and the king.' Then take him out and stone him to death." The men of his city, the elders and nobles who live in the city, did as Jezebel had sent word to them, just as is written in the letters that she has sent them to them. They proclaimed a fast and said Naboth at the head of the assembly. The two scoundrels came in and sat opposite him. And the scoundrels brought a charge against Naboth in the presence of the people, saying, "Naboth cursed God and the king." So they took him outside the city, stoned him to death. Then they sent to Jezebel, saying, "Naboth has been stoned. He is dead." As soon as Jezebel heard that Naboth had been stoned and was dead, Jezebel said to Ahab, "Go, take possession of the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite, which he refused to give you for money. For Naboth is not alive, but dead." As soon as Ahab heard Naboth was dead, Ahab set out to go down to the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite to take possession of it. Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, "Go down to meet King Ahab of Israel, who rules in Samaria, and is now in the vineyard of Naboth, where he has gone to take possession. You shall say to him, 'Thus says the Lord, have you killed and also take possession?' You shall say to him, 'Thus says the Lord, in the place where dogs lick the blood of Naboth, dogs also lick your blood.'" Ahab said to Elijah, "Have you found me, O my enemy?" Elijah answered, "I have found you, because you have sold yourself to do what is evil in the sight of the Lord. I will bring disaster on you. I will consume you and will cut off from Ahab every male born or free in Israel. And I will make your house like the house of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, and the house of Baasha, son of Ahaz, because you provoked me to anger and have caused Israel to sin." Also concerning Jezebel, the Lord said, "The dog shall eat Jezebel within the bounds of Jezreel. Anyone belonging to Ahab who dies in the city, the dogs shall eat. And anyone of his who dies in the open country, the birds of the air shall eat." Indeed, there was no one like Ahab who sold himself to do what was evil in the sight of the Lord, urged on by his wife Jezebel. He acted most abominably in going after idols, as the Amorites had done, whom the Lord drove out before the Israelites. When Ahab heard these words, he tore his clothes, put sackcloth over his bare flesh. He fasted, lay in the sackcloth, and went about dejectedly. Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, Have you seen how Ahab has humbled himself before me? Because he has humbled himself before me, I will not bring disaster in his days, but in his son days, I will bring disaster on his house. My friends, to the word of God, to the people of God, thanks be to God. All right. So this is part two of what I've called my Ahab trilogy. Last week we saw Ahab went into battle. The Lord's prophet said, go into battle. The Lord's going to give you a great victory. In doing so, you will know that he is indeed the Lord. And Ahab won a great battle. And then in the next year, the enemy strikes again. Because the enemy's attitude was, this God of Israel, he's the God of the hills. He's not God in the valleys. So we get the Israelites in the valleys, we'll have a great victory. And so again, the prophet tells Ahab, the enemy is counting you go to the valley and lose. Because they think the Lord is the only Lord of the hills, not the valleys. Today, the Lord's going to give you a victory in the valley, so you will know that he is Lord. And once again, the Lord gave Ahab a great victory. But then Ahab squanders that victory. He allows that wicked king to go free. The king who had threatened his household and the wealth and the people of Israel walked off scot-free. And because of that, the Lord said to him at the very end, because you let that king go free, you had to die in his place. And so the chapter ended, the king of Israel set out towards home, resentful and sullen, and came to Samaria. So we fast forward to sometime in the future. Ahab's walking around the palace, and he knows he has a next door neighbor, a gentleman by the name of Naboth. He has a vineyard. And Ahab thinks, man, that'd be a good place for my vegetable garden. I'm going to talk to him. Naboth, I got to do it for you. You know, I need to expand, and I need a vegetable garden, and you're right next to me, my property line here. I tell you what, how much you want for this property? Or if that's not what you want, I'll give you another vineyard somewhere else. You just make me a bargain. And then King Ahab gets surprised when Naboth says, no. Some folks don't like it, you tell them no. And he says, the Lord forbid it that I should give you my ancestral inheritance. And it sounds like what Naboth is saying is, this has been my family since the very beginning when Joshua came to the promised land years and years ago. I just can't give away property like that. There's something special about this. Okay. Now, in our society, we don't do that as much, do we? Because every time I turn around, somebody's buying, selling, and flipping the flopping. You talk to the older folks, no, they're more protected about the family farm, right? And you go further back to our Native American neighbors. They did not understand this idea of selling land. Like, why? Why'd you come here for? No, this is our land. This is the land of our ancestors. You know, why would you do that? And Naboth says, no, this is ancestral land. Been in the family all these years. I just can't sell it. And so Ahab goes home, resentful and sullen. He says he laid down his bed, turned away his face. Will not eat. In other words, he's having a little tinter tantrum. Then Jezebel comes in, his wife. Why are you so depressed? You won't eat. Well, I want Naboth's vineyard, but he won't sell it to me. And Jezebel says, do you now govern Israel? Like, you're the king, aren't you? Says, get up and eat some food. Be cheerful. I'll give you the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite. Now, this point where Ahab should have said, now how you going to do that? And when she told him the little scheme she had, Ahab should have said, we're not doing that. But listen to this scheme. So she sends a letter to the neighborhood watch there and says, I want you to declare a fast and then have a little town hall meeting. And I want you to have Naboth come up to the front. And when he does, I want you to bring two scoundrels, one on the left, one on the right, and accuse Naboth of cursing both God and the king. Then I want you to have a very quick trial and take him outside and stone him to death. You see, in the law of Moses, The rule was you had to have two eyewitnesses to say somebody did something worthy of the death penalty, okay? Now, that was a kind of, back before we had DNA evidence, right? And Jezebel took advantage of that by getting two dishonest people to do this for her. And so they have a meeting, and they both get called up. And to his surprise, remember, all this happened just like this. These two rascals come up, lie about them, take them outside the city limits, stone them to death. All within a matter of hours. And then they send a note back saying, hey, Naboth is dead. Now, if you know anything about your Jewish biblical history, does that sound anything very familiar? Okay. Remember last summer we did a series on King David? And remember how David wrote a note to his commander Joab and made arrangements for Uzziah the Hittite to be killed in battle? And then Joab sent a note back to King David. This is almost a kind of like a sequel to, if you will. It's the same ideal. I, the monarch, is going to send a note, let you guys do the dirty work, send a note back to me, and I'm going to swoosh in and take what's left over. And so she tells Ahab, hey, honey, Naboth's dead. And Ahab wasn't wasting any time going down and snatching up that property. He's got the vineyard. And Ahab probably thinks in his foolish head, I got away with it. But let me tell you something, you cannot do wrong and get by with it. The Lord sent him a message to the prophet Elijah. Elijah has a message. Because you shed innocent blood, the place that innocent blood was shed, that's where you'll be shedding your blood, and the dogs will come up and lick it. And so Elijah visits Ahab, and you know how much Ahab loves Elijah. And so Ahab says, have you found me, O my enemy? And Elijah says, I have found you. Because you have sold yourself to do what is evil in the sight of the Lord. Ahab, you sold yourself out for a piece of real estate to do evil. And because of this, I'm going to cut off your family. I'm going to end your dynasty, like I did with some other kings you also sinned. And then concerning Jezebel, listen here, Ahab. The dog shall eat Jezebel within the bounds of Jezreel. And anyone who belongs to Ahab and dies in the city, the dogs will eat. And if they die in open country, the birds of the air shall eat. In other words, judgment is about to fall upon your family. You guys are about to be roadkill. And the author, verse 25, says, oh, by the way, indeed there is no one like Ahab, who sold himself to do what is evil in the sight of the Lord, urged on by his wife Jezebel. He acted most abominably going after idols, as the Amorites had done, whom the Lord drove out before the Israelites. So here you got a guy who has shed innocent blood, stolen property. Here's a guy who has set up idols all around Israel, leading God's people away to false worship. And then listen to verse 27. When Ahab heard these words, he tore his clothes, the sackcloth over his bare flesh. He fasted, laid in sackcloth, and went around dejectedly. For a moment of time, Ahab began to get pulled together and began to show remorse and repentance for the evil he had done. Verse 28, then the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite. Have you seen how Ahab has humbled himself before me? Because he had humbled himself before me, I will not bring disaster in his days, but in his son's days, I will bring disaster in his house. And here we have a terrifying picture of both God's justice and his mercy. God and his justice had delivered a very severe sentence to King Ahab and Jezebel. You have set up false worship in my kingdom, and you have shed innocent blood. There is a punishment to be had. And Ahab, for a moment of time, gets right with the Lord and begins to repent and humble himself. And what does the Lord do? He tells Elijah, look at Ahab, how he humbled himself. Because he humbled himself, I'm going to postpone part of his punishment to a future time in the future. Now, that surprises us that the Lord would kind of give a delay of punishment, some clemency to Ahab. Because we would think, well, surely he wouldn't do that to Ahab. Ahab was evil, wicked. Look all he did wrong. But what does Paul say in his letter to Romans? Where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. No matter how wicked or evil a person is, the grace of God can go that much and then some. When Ahab repented, God forgave him. What's the promise that we have in the letters that John wrote? My little children, I write to this, you may not sin. But anyone does sin, we have an advocate. And we sin, we do what? If we run to confess our sins, he is willing and just to do what? Forgive us and to cleanse us from our unrighteousness. You see, sometimes we think, well, so-and-so, he's gone too far on the deep end. He's look all he did. Or look what she did. It's all over Facebook. She's a mess. Well, what's more powerful? The power of sin? Or God's grace and forgiveness and mercy to forgive a person, wipe that slate clean, and move that sin as far away as east as from west? For a moment of time, Ahab got right with God, humbled himself, and repented. And God, in his mercy, postponed the time of judgment to further down the road. Now, as we'll see in the next week, Ahab did not follow up with that. But what about us? When we look at our lives, are we on thin ice with God? Have we been doing things and getting a little bit of stag in our lives? And I shouldn't be doing that. If that's the case, I will encourage you to be like Ahab. Humble yourself and ask God for forgiveness. If you'll do that, he'll forgive you. Or have you been walking around and you see this person, that person, thinking, well, they're too far gone. Ain't no hope for them. Or do you have enough sense to realize that God's love is a boundless love? And no matter how deep a person can sin, God's love and grace can go that far and then some to redeem them. That the powers of sin and evil are no match for God's powers of goodness and mercy and grace as revealed to us by Christ's death and resurrection from the grave. So this morning I want to encourage all of you to, first of all, beware of jealousy. Beware of covetousness. No, thou shalt not covet. Because that's what got this whole mess started. And that's a lot easy to do these days, thanks to social media, to see what so-and-so's driving, look at their house, look at their car, look at their jewelry, look where they went on vacation. You can't do that. You cannot compare your life to someone else. Be grateful for what you have in your life, your blessings. And then secondly, if you have messed up, follow Ahab's example and humble yourself. Be repentant and let God forgive you. And then if you see someone else, you think, man, they're just too far gone. Let's remember, if God can forgive King Ahab for all the blood he shed, God can forgive them. And you say, what about all that blood he shed? Well, guess he also got his blood shed. And that blood covers the multitude of sins, doesn't it? Now, this is my covenant. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for the remission of the sins of many. You can now sin past God's grace, the mercy, through Christ's death on the cross and his resurrection, can you? And so my prayer for all of you this morning is like Ahab, we will be humble and we will surrender all to the Lord. And speaking of surrender all, at this time, Herb's going to come up and lead us into the hymn, I Surrender All, in the Red Hymn Book, page 354, I Surrender All.